This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Walloped again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, February 4th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Old Man Winter's latest visit means snow, ice, and power outages for a third of the country. There was even a deadly tornado in Alabama.
The U.S. is warning that Russia may stage a video depicting an attack by Ukraine, then use it as an excuse to invade.
The Beijing Olympics officially begin today. Part of the games will include a choreographed show of unity between the leaders of Russia and China.
And COVID patients who can't get treatments because of a drug shortage.
It takes a long time to manufacture some of these things. For instance, one of the antiviral drugs is essentially considered to be like 90% effective at keeping people out of the hospital. So of course, as you can imagine, that's in hot demand, especially in places where we have a really large unvaccinated population.
Julie Wernow at the Wall Street Journal on different rules in different states creating discrepancies in access to pills and treatment. Another winter storm has left hundreds of thousands without power across the southern and central U.S. as snow, sleet, and ice fell on a third of the nation and thousands of flights were canceled. More than 100,000 customers in Tennessee still have no power this morning, most of them in Shelby County, which includes Memphis, where it's 26 degrees this morning. North of there, this man had enough in Champaign, Illinois.
It's so easy to spin out, and it's so easy to get caught up on one of these banks that I suggest that most people stay home. If you really don't have to come out here, just stay at home.
Elsewhere, one person was killed, eight others injured after a tornado touched down south of the University of Alabama. Hale County Emergency Management Director Russ Whedon.
We found one fatality. We have three very critical patients, and we have about five other minor injuries.
Winter and ice storm warnings remained in effect until this morning from Texas up through the Midwest and into New England. As U.S. Special Operations Forces closed in, the leader of Islamic State blew himself up, also killing his wife and children during a raid in northwest Syria. The mission wiped out a top terrorist leader in the Middle East, Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. Dozens of U.S. Special Forces troops on helicopters landed and approached the multi-story building. Then Mr. Qurashi, who lived on the third floor, detonated what officials believe was a suicide vest. Reaction from President Biden.
In a final act of desperate cowardice, he, with no regard to the lives of his own family or others in the building, he chose to blow himself up, not just with the vest, but to blow up that third floor.
A voice on a loudspeaker ordered residents to surrender, asking women to hand themselves over for the sake of their children, since forces were prepared to destroy the entire three-story home. Mr. Qurashi's deputy, who lived on the second floor, barricaded himself and his wife before also being killed. U.S. officials say Russia is planning to fabricate a pretext for an invasion of Ukraine by releasing a staged video depicting attacks by Ukrainian military forces. Citing newly classified intel, they say a Russian plan would include Moscow's use of a propaganda video that would depict graphic scenes of a staged false explosion with corpses, actors depicting mourners, and images of destroyed buildings and military equipment. The equipment would be made to look like it was Ukrainian or from NATO members. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
Clearly, this is an escalatory, not a de-escalatory action. And certainly, we look at these developments as we make assessments about how to support and work with our other NATO partners in the region.
Moscow has denied it's planning an invasion, but says it could take unspecified military action if its security demands are not met. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are meeting today at the Beijing Olympics in a choreographed show of unity as Moscow potentially confronts the U.S. and NATO. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The Labor Department releases the January jobs report today, something that always occurs on the first Friday of the month. A preview from Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, what can we expect?
I think we're wincing a bit, Gordon, about the possible look of this January jobs report, simply because whether it's high-frequency data from different firms that measure activity at work, or the ADP report that showed a big decline in January employment, it's probably going to be a lackluster month. But we know that millions of Americans have been sidelined by the Omicron variant, whether staying away from work because they're sick, testing positive, work told them to go home, or they're caring for a loved one. And we know that there are at least hundreds of thousands of people who don't have sick pay, so they would not be counted as working under those conditions. So I would say that we look past this January report, even though it won't tell us about something that happened during the second week of January and in the context of an economic recovery that had been proceeding along pretty well through the end of last year and then hit a mogul here in the ski bump category here as it hit January.
Got it. All right, so piece together, too, what we're learning here as of Thursday with weekly jobless claims now falling for a second straight week. Somewhat good news here.
We like to see new claims falling. We've seen them as low as the lowest in 52 years in recent weeks in early December. And now we have the second straight weekly decline down by 23,000, seasonally adjusted to 238,000. That's a low number. And it tells us that job cuts, fresh job loss, they are not the key issue for the economy. Challenger Gray and Christmas counts job cut announcements, and that essentially found them to be flat in January and remarkably low.
What about wages? How do we factor in wages with all this?
We'll get some fresh data on wage growth in the January employment report. And what we know up to date, or in the previous reading, among other snapshots, is that wage growth has been substantial, somewhere on the order of 5.5% depending on the measure, but it's not keeping pace with the inflation at the retail level, the consumer price index year-over-year gain of 7%. So this is quite frustrating for working people, consumers, who are experiencing that gap. And this is why inflation being as high as it is having a dampening impact on consumer sentiment. And obviously weighing on spending. If you have to pay for energy, for transportation, gasoline, heating fuels, you have to pay for higher costs of food. Shelter is a big one. Rents are going up for those who are exposed to that. And home prices have been rising. So inflation is really an irritant for the economy right now. And wage gains have not been keeping up.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, talking about the January jobs report. How about job openings? Are we making any progress on those millions of unfilled positions?
Yeah, this is another remarkable story where the job openings reported by the Labor Department are near a record, 10.9 million at the end of December. This number tends to lag in terms of the calendar. And the number of people who are quitting their jobs remains quite high, 4.3 million. During the month, the rate off the peak. So, you know, employers are struggling to retain and hire workers. Many employees are opting for new jobs. They have the opportunity to do that, particularly when there are so many openings. And many firms are providing additional flexibility, including the opportunity to work remote when they can.
Very good. What else struck you here you think we should mention? Any trends?
Well, inflation really is one of two key things to watch here in 2022. The Federal Reserve has put the world on notice that it will be raising interest rates, likely as soon as the March meeting. We're seeing comparable moves by other central banks around the world. We knew that interest rates could not remain at record low levels forever. The question would have been, when will that change? And that appears now that that change will be coming. So that's a warning to people that if you're carrying debt on credit cards, for example, among the highest rates of interest that are out there, now's the time to pay that down. We would always say try to pay it off anyway. Don't let those charges recur.
Yeah.
We'll see higher rates for other kinds of borrowing. The good news here is that savers should begin to see slightly more generous returns on savings as well.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. 19 minutes now after the hour. on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A sprawling winter storm that blanketed the central and southern U.S. with ice and snow left hundreds of thousands in the dark before making its way toward the northeast, promising more disruption today. More than 95 million people are under winter weather warnings or advisories, and thousands of flights have again been canceled. This man in Champaign, Illinois, has some advice for you.
It's so easy to spin out, and it's so easy to get caught up on one of these banks that I suggest that most people stay home. If you really don't have to come out here, just stay at home.
In New Mexico, two people died in weather-related crashes yesterday. Another person died in Alabama during what forecasters determined was a likely tornado.
Number two.
The White House says the leader of terrorist group ISIS died during a U.S. raid in Syria. The Islamic State militant group leader was on the third floor of a building in northern Syria when U.S. special operators arrived. He detonated a bomb that killed himself and several members of his family, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
This is a man that we should all be happy is no longer walking on the face of the earth.
All U.S. service members involved in the mission returned safely from the operation.
Number three.
Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived in Beijing today for the opening of the Winter Olympic Games to meet with his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, as the two leaders look to project themselves as a counterweight to the U.S. and its allies. The Russian leader's visit comes amid growing Chinese support for Moscow in its dispute with Ukraine. The U.S., Britain, and many other major countries are not sending officials to China in protest of China's human rights abuses and its treatment of Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities. Good news if you're an Amazon shareholder, not good news if you're an Amazon Prime member. Amazon boosting the price of its Prime membership for the first time since 2018. Monthly Prime memberships will go from $13 to $15, and annual memberships will be hiked to $139 from the current $119. The news comes as Amazon reported results for its latest quarter that blew projections out of the water. Wall Street had expected earnings per share of $3.44. The retailer delivered a staggering $27.75 a share, and Amazon shares are up nearly 13% in pre-market trading.
I thought that might mean they might discount Amazon Prime
now. You would think.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks, Jen. Later this hour, by the way, how to get around the Amazon Prime price hike. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools for the most part have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security. Thanks for being with us in these uneven financial times. More Americans are leaning on financial advisors for advice. But of course, some financial advisors are better than others. So MarketWatch asked some pros to identify red flags that should give you pause when looking for a financial advisor. Here's MarketWatch editor Katie Hill. Katie, one of them is they don't ask about your life.
Let's say the advisor asks a lot about your portfolio, talks about your portfolio, but they don't ask about your life. So a lot of people, right, they come into their advisor asking, how much do I need to retire? The advisor should look at them and say, well, you know, tell me about your life. How do you spend money? What do you want to do in retirement? Like they should really be getting a sense of your life and what you want your life to look at to answer questions like that. It's not just like an investment mix. It's really like looking at that and what your life goals are. And sometimes that just doesn't happen.
What about being a fiduciary acting in your best interest? How do we know that's happening? Do we ask? How does that work?
Yeah. So a fiduciary is a person who's legally required to look out for your best interest before their own. So that means they're going to recommend investments that are best for you, right? If you look for the CFP designation, if you need help with your finances, that's a good way to just sort of nail that down. But yeah, not everyone is held to that standard, right? Like not everyone who calls himself a financial planner is also a fiduciary. So it's worth asking. And then it's really just worth fully understanding how are you paid, right? Is it, you know, if it's 1% of assets under management, or that's kind of a standard one, or do you, you know, just really understanding what do you get commissions if you recommend certain products over others? That might be a red flag there, because they would want to get, they might recommend the highest commission product. So understanding they're a fiduciary and understanding how they get paid.
Such an important distinction. We're speaking with Katie Hill, commerce editor at MarketWatch. She's written a story entitled about red flags that signal it may be time to dump your financial advisor. What was the point about possibly outgrowing each other?
Yeah, this happens a lot, right? Let's say, you know, you've I hope this happened to you, but you made a lot of money, right? But your advisor is kind of more someone who works with people with lesser assets. Might be time to move somebody who has more experience doing that. So it's just, and there's a lot of ways you can look at it. It's not just like how much assets they have, but, you know, if you just feel like you've outgrown the advice they can provide, maybe they're really good at like doing portfolio management, but you really need something way more, you know, complicated going on with your financial situation. So looking at what they often have, you know, little specialties that you've gleaned or that they've told you, and really looking at, does that still match what I need with my financial advisor?
I hadn't considered this one. They panic under pressure, meaning what?
Oh yeah, this is no good, right? Like I've probably said this 1,000 times, but like you want to invest for the long term, try not to panic when the market goes wild. But some financial advisors even panic when the market goes wild, right? But they should have a long-term strategy for you, and they should not, like the guy I quoted said, if your advisor's thrashing about in a panic, this is no good, you know? do they exit the market? Do they, like, that's just not someone that you necessarily want managing your money. You want a long-term strategy. You want to set with it. I mean, you can make some small tweaks, but you're not trying to like throw your hands up in the air with every dip of the S&P. So that's something to look for. And, you know, we just, you know, in 2020, you can kind of look back and be like, what exactly happened when there was all that craziness?
How about that man or woman who speaks in that jargon that makes your eyes glaze over?
Oh, this is my worst thing. Like, right? If they're, you know, they're probably speaking in jargon to try to make you feel like, oh, they know a lot. That just means nothing. They should absolutely be able to explain everything to you in terms you understand. And it's one of my pet peeves about the financial industry, all this jargon. And I write about it because I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be this hard, but sometimes those words make it seem that hard.
How about fees? We need to know how to ask about fees. You kind of touched on it before, but how does that work?
Yeah. Well, you just have to understand, like, how are they getting paid? Is it through assets under management, right? So they might get paid like a certain percentage of that, about 1%, a little less, hopefully. But that kind of number. Do they get paid by hourly? There are some CFPs who work on an hourly rate. That might actually be better for some people, right?
Like, thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch.
No fear, just facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, February 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Another winter storm hits a third of the country with more power outages and canceled flights. The U.S. says Russia may stage a video of an attack on itself as a pretext to invade Ukraine. As shares of Facebook's parent tumbled by more than 25% yesterday, founder Mark Zuckerberg personally lost $32 billion. A report says Chris Cuomo wants $18 million as part of his exit from CNN. It's the NHL All-Star Weekend, and the weird rules of Winter Olympic sports, including one about excess nudity. That story in about 20 minutes. Different rules in different states are creating discrepancies in access to pills and treatments for COVID-19. States say they're getting a fraction of what they need to help keep patients out of hospitals thanks to their patchwork system for distributing limited supplies. It's a story by Julie Wernow, health reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, what have you found?
Well, as everybody knows by now, we have this incredibly virulent strain of COVID. And unfortunately, with the timing of that, it's not quite matching up with these new drug treatments that we have to actually treat COVID. And so as these manufacturers are ramping up these antiviral pills that have come out, there's tons and tons of people still going to the hospital and just not enough treatments to go around.
And why is that?
Well, you know, it takes a long time to manufacture some of these things. For instance, one of the antiviral drugs is essentially considered to be like 90% effective at keeping people out of the hospital. So, of course, as you can imagine, that's in hot demand, especially in places where we have a really large unvaccinated population. But there's just not enough being manufactured quickly enough. And so when you talk to states, they'll say, you know, they're only really able to fill like a small fraction of those orders. The other thing we have is there's something called monoclonal antibody treatments, which is another preventative measure to keep people out of the hospital. Before the Omicron variant, we had three of these treatments that were really, you know, sort of being used pretty regularly. It turns out that two of those treatments are not actually working with this new variant. So that leaves us with just one treatment. And states are saying that they're really only able at this point to fill about 50% of the orders they're getting for it, which of course concerns hospitals who really want to keep people away from their doors right now. They're already very strapped and overwhelmed.
Sure. How about the kind of the patchwork of rules here that are so problematic?
Right. You know, if people can sort of remember back to when the vaccine rolled out, what we'll recall is that, you know, in different states, there were sort of different rules for who would be prioritized for those vaccines. And that caused quite a few headaches and, you know, not a lot of room for individual choices to be made. The same thing is happening here. You know, in one state, because there's a short supply of these treatments, they might be prioritizing sort of the hospitals because those folks have maybe, you know, what they think is the greatest ability to get these treatments out the door quickly. In other parts of the country, like Oregon, for instance, they've decided to send the treatments first to these, you know, federally qualified clinics, places that really work with very vulnerable populations. And so it's a completely different distribution plan that's causing a lot of confusion for patients who are trying to figure out where can I get this drug. In some instances, what's happening is there's doctors who, you know, they're calling around to a dozen different pharmacies trying to find it. Other doctors get to a point where they just say to the patient, I'm sorry, I don't know where to find you this treatment. I'm going to need you to go call around yourself.
Wow.
So you can imagine if you're someone who has COVID and might be afraid, that might not be really fantastic news to hear from your healthcare provider.
We're speaking with Julie Wernow, health reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Patients Go Without COVID-19 Treatments Amid Drug Shortage. Is there relief in the works or a different solution to this?
So we're hearing a few different things. It does seem that, you know, by the spring, we should have a pretty steady supply of all of these treatments available. Unfortunately, that isn't really great news for people who are going through this Omicron surge right now. What I've heard from healthcare providers who are trying to figure out how to do without is they do have some other options available. There's a monoclonal antibody treatment that also does work with this strain of COVID. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of staffing. You need to infuse people three different times on three different days, but some folks are using that. We also have, just regular, you know, sort of health and medicine, like rest and hydration and staying home and masking. Some folks say that's really all they can do for their patients right now.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Wernow, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. If saving money is one of your top goals for 2022, then stop paying insane amounts of money every month for wireless. Switch to Mint Mobile. It's the easiest way to save this year. Since Mint Mobile is the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, they let you maximize your savings with plans starting at just $15 a month. At Mint Mobile, all plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Choose the amount of monthly data that's right for you and stop paying for data you never use. They've eliminated the traditional costs of retail and you get the savings. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, Visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. We know a large portion of the country has had to deal with some type of winter weather this week, but let this be a warning to those looking to warm up their cars before attempting to clear them of ice and snow. A UK man named Daniel Johnston wasn't in the mood to scrape the ice off of his car one morning, so he turned on his car to warm it up and start defrosting the windshield. Problem is, he left his car unattended and somehow in reverse. So it wound up backing up into his neighbor's garage door, causing over $1,000 in damage. Luckily, the man's neighbor wasn't that mad with Daniel, admitting that he'd done something like that in the past. Daniel's bumper was also ripped off in the incident and was left with a dent in the side of his car, but luckily he works at a car dealership and was able to get a discount on the bodywork.
Ouch.
So it could have ended a lot worse because, you know, he got a discount on the bodywork, his neighbor wasn't that mad.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if he had hit a perfect stranger in the middle of the street, that right. could have been a big, or, you know, obviously the worst case scenario, injuries of some kind from backing his car into somebody.
What do we expect? This was a manual transmission? Right, so it was left in gear without the emergency brake on?
Something like that, yeah. I believe that was the case. It was hard to decipher because it was it was in the UK. So it's hard to say exactly what he was saying or how would this happen, but I think it had something to do with that, yes.
My daughter suffered her first ding yesterday in her car.
Okay.
Backing out of her boyfriend's driveway on the way to school, she dinged her boyfriend's sister's car.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think Kelly went by and took a look at it. Apparently, you have to look really hard to see any kind of damage.
Okay.
But she was sort of sufficiently rattled, you know, as a driver who's been behind the wheel for 5.5 months now.
Right, right. So that was a ding. Because when you said ding, I feel like, you know, depending on who's saying ding.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it was...
there's a wide range.
Literally a ding.
Okay.
That you got to look hard to see. But
yeah.
I just think that's one of those... maybe a positive as a young driver, like now she's really going to pay attention
right.
when backing up, right?
Yeah, that stuff can kind of snap you to attention when
yes.
it does happen because we tend to be a little complacent behind
yep.
the wheel. And nothing brings out the Twitter jokesters like a funny story to add captions to, especially when it's ripe for puns. This was on display last night as a Philadelphia supermarket's mishap led to hundreds of cheese puns. It all started when a Philly news site tweeted a picture of a shelf full of cheese that had tragically collapsed at an Acme supermarket. And here's a sample of some of the responses. One person asked, "Is there debris everywhere?" While another wrote that they camembert to look at such carnage.
Uh-huh.
Another user wrote that the store needs to build back cheddar. That was my favorite one. While another one hoped that no injuries were incurred in the disaster. Another person warned them to be careful since some of that cheese is sharp.
Mm.
In any case, the majority of users swissed the store. Nothing but the best.
That's great.
See, this is what Twitter should be used for.
Agreed.
It's not more often than not, but this is what we should be doing on Twitter all the time.
Yeah. Twitter needs like a humor or cleverness panel.
Yes.
To somehow go through these billions of tweets.
Yes,
every day.
I would like to filter out all the other stuff and just have this delivered to my newsfeed.
No politics, only like funny memes, pictures of animals,
caption contests,
right? Bloopers, and these clever things.
Agreed.
Thanks for spending time with us. Amazon Prime's subscription service is going up again to $139 as of February 18. If it's getting too pricey, here are some other options from PCMag.com. Number one, sign up before then. That allows you to lock in the current price of $119. Number two, join Amazon Student. Once a free 6-month trial is up, Amazon charges $59 a year or $6.49 a month for 4 years or until graduation. Number three, if you have a valid electronic benefits transfer or Medicaid card, you can get Amazon Prime for $5.99 a month, up for 4 years. Number four, if free shipping is your game, Amazon offers free shipping on orders of $25 or more for those without Prime. Number five, shoppers who tend to buy the same things should look into what's called a subscribe and save membership, although it doesn't offer as many services as Prime. And number six, find other ways to get free shipping. Freeshipping.org has coupons from online stores. There are also browser add-ons such as Coupons at Checkout, Invisible Hand, Honey, and RetailMeNot's Deal Finder. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A major winter storm that already cut power to about 350,000 homes and businesses from Texas to the Ohio Valley is set to leave Pennsylvania and New England glazed in ice and smothered in snow. A foot of snow is expected to accumulate in northern New York and New England, but it's the ice that's the major issue. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear.
The predictions in many areas are still a quarter to a half an inch, which can cause serious problems on the roadways, can cause down limbs that then knock down power lines.
Number two.
U.S. officials say they have evidence Russia has developed a plan to use a faked video to create a pretext for an invasion of Ukraine. The video likely would depict graphic scenes of a staged false explosion with corpses, actors depicting mourners, and images of destroyed locations and military equipment. Gear used in the fabricated attack would be made to look like it's Ukrainian or from allied nations.
Number three.
The U.S. is warning Chinese firms they will face consequences if they seek to evade any export controls imposed on Moscow in the event of Russia invading Ukraine. State Department spokesman Ned Price made the remark after China's foreign ministry said China and Russia had coordinated their positions on Ukraine during a meeting between their foreign ministers in Beijing yesterday. Running through a grim tally of recent gun deaths, President Biden pledged to New Yorkers and the nation the federal government will step up its fight against gun violence by working more closely with police and communities to stop the surging bloodshed.
It's time to fund community policing to protect and serve the community. I'm also calling for increased funding for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the U.S. Marshal's offices.
Biden came to New York a day after the funeral for the second of two New York City cops shot and killed during a domestic violence call on January 21st. Even before the opening ceremonies at the Winter Olympics in Beijing, competition was already underway, and on the ice, it was a good start for the Americans. It was supposed to be a foregone conclusion. Russia's powerful stable of figure skaters would run away with the team gold medal, but Nathan Chen and the rest of the Americans may have other ideas. The three-time world champs of winning a short program set the tone for Team USA today, and everyone else followed suit. Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue won the rhythm dance with a season-best score.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Jen. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. As the Olympics begin, here's a list of the most obscure rules that athletes of the Winter Games must abide by. They're from menshealth.com. Number one, pants are a must for men's figure skaters, and skirts are a must for women. Number two, athletes can have endorsements but can't talk about them. Number three, no protesting anything. Number four, American athletes cannot booze it up inside the Olympic Village. Number five, no backflips allowed in figure skating. Number six, in hockey, instigators get five for fighting, but if you're retaliating, the penalty is only 2 minutes, so if he starts it, you finish it. Number seven, big air snowboarding requires athletes to spin in two different directions. Number eight, back to figure skating, no excess nudity. That's why the ladies wear flesh-tone colors. Number nine, skeleton competitors can get off their sled to move it or push it, but have to be on it when crossing the finish line. Oh, and just one for the Summer Olympics, you know, in water polo, you cannot grab the other guy's groin. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.